Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, the Lakers have a schedule, and more importantly, LeBron James has a contract extension. All that's next on Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. No matter how you get your podcasts or where, never behind a paywall, always free. And fresh Lakers content, Andy. That's what that means. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you get the show a little bit early, particularly on non-game nights, and you get all the fun visual stuff that we do with the YouTube product. Want to let everybody know, remind everybody that August 27th, I should say, at 11 a.m., Andy and I will be at the Doer Store, 170 South La Brea in Los Angeles, recording a special live mailbag episode of the podcast. You have a chance, if you show up, to both participate in the show. You can sit down with us. You can ask us questions. You can be part of it. And also, you can win some good stuff from our friends at Doer, prize packs of shorts and shirts and pants and all kinds of giveaways going on in store. Again, 170 South La Brea, August 27th at 11 a.m. If you can't make it into the Doer store, Andy, you can always go to shopdoer.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON15, and you can win some prize packs before that by sending us questions that we can use in the mailbag episode. If you do that, and it's a good enough question, you are automatically entered to win a prize pack. And I believe the first prize we're giving away is Friday, right, Andy?
Yes.
That's the goal?
Yep.
All right. So housekeeping out of the way, big news on Wednesday. Like, we were waiting around for the schedule drop, but the Lakers dropped more than that. So we're going to have to push the schedule to the back burner for a moment because LeBron James has, in fact, agreed to a contract extension. It is a one-year extension plus a player option for a second year that could keep the LeBron here through, what is it, the 24-25 season,
yes.
Andy?
Yeah.
But at the very least, he is now committed for two seasons with the Lakers. It's a big deal on a lot of levels.
Yeah. As I tweeted out at Cam Brothers, LeBron stealing the spotlight from the NBA schedule dropping. Never forget whose league it still is, kids. And look, you know, there are players right now, Nikola Jokic, Giannis, Joel Embiid, Steph Curry, like guys that are currently in the conversation as the best player in the league, game in, game out. I don't think LeBron is as universally considered that guy anymore, like automatically, like, because there was a place where it was automatically.
It was stupid to ask the question.
Right. If you were not saying LeBron, you were frankly just trying too hard. Mm-hmm. That may be the case. LeBron may be merely one of the best players in the league, but it's still his league. Because there's nobody in the league that doing this sort of extension right now, I think, would get as many people to care as LeBron. You know, combine that with the Lakers on top of it. But either way, in this respect, in terms of just whose league it still is, stature-wise, the answer is LeBron.
And there's so much in here that impacts the Lakers in terms of what this means, you know, what the terms of the deal mean, what comes next. Does it indicate Lakers are ready to make trades? What does it mean about the kinds of trades that they can, should, and will make? And, you know, broadly, what does the certainty do for both LeBron and certainly and for the Lakers going forward? But let's start with the terms. It's $97 million at least. It's not going to be less than that. I've seen numbers that it could be worth, depending on what the salary cap jumps to, up to $111 million for 2 years. There was some speculation, people at least wondering, Andy, if LeBron might do something like James Harden did, take $30 million instead of 40-something, and give the Lakers a little bit more room to maneuver. Tim Bontemps of ESPN pointed this out on Twitter that, you know, he took the max and that costs the Lakers flexibility. Are you even slightly surprised at the terms of the deal, whether it's full max, one and one, whatever it is?
Nope. because maybe a week or so ago, I remember we did a show where I said I would be extremely surprised if LeBron did not take his max. He's been on record saying he's done that before, taking some slight haircuts, and he is no longer doing that. I think also, too, there's the politics of a guy like LeBron doing that, and you know, like the CBA politics of it all, and the pressure that I think he is aware that he could create around the league for other players from other teams saying like, hey, LeBron did this. You know, if LeBron can do that, you can too. We've seen before, though, that the Lakers do care about finances. You know, just ask Alex Caruso. But at the same time, though, you know, first with Kobe and now with LeBron, I think they prefer, in certain respects, the publicity and the notoriety and the reputation of when you are a Kobe, when you are a LeBron, when you are a player of that level, we are going to take care of you. Even when you could argue it may not be in the franchise's best interest to take care of you at that level.
This is always the argument, you know, the player, like how he's worth, he literally is worth $1 billion. Like we did that, you know, we saw that story earlier in the year and all, like it is to some degree principle as much as like need at this point. But the flip side is, you know, I don't care how rich you are, leaving $40 million or $30 million or $20 million on the table is a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And like, I am not in the business of spending people's money and deciding what they ought to be doing with their money. I also do wonder that, you know, how much faith he would have that that money would be able to be used wisely or in ways that really make a difference. And I don't mean that as kind of a cynical look at the front office, although maybe that's there. I just think, like, you know, is an extra $6 million in a season going to be the thing that pushes the Lakers to a title? Like when free agent markets, every dollar helps. That's not my point. And ultimately, it's not the player's job to do that work for the front office. LeBron is entitled to that money. He is worth that money. The Lakers are willing to pay him that money. He ought to take that money. And that's what he did.
I mean, look, there are implications from it. Like, I'm not going to say that was not a choice for LeBron in terms of
it was an option.
Attempting to create more avenues for winning. It was like when Kobe took that extension, you know, in his case, it was sight unseen before the Lakers had even seen him on the court. And at the time, the Lakers were bidding against nobody.
There was a lot of do not look behind the curtain. It was a very tumultuous moment in Lakers.
And I will say, at the time, I still think I'm correct about this, insofar as Kobe trying to do as much as he could to make his situation down the stretch as competitive as possible, he bypassed that option. I think he also may have recognized similar vein to what you were talking about before, the odds of them getting somebody of that caliber, especially when you take into account the whose team is it thing. You know, all of these younger players had so much respect for Kobe. None of them wanted to get into some type of, you know, weird, awkward territorial dance with Kobe. And then on the flip side, it's like if you're joining to become the franchise face, you want to feel like the face. It was going to be very difficult for them to get that type of player anyway. So from Kobe's perspective, go get paid. Like, you know, both things can be true. Kobe made it harder, but they might not have been able to get anybody anyway.
And that's kind of what I was getting at. Is like, the short of taking $6 million a year, $10 million a year, and opening up $35 million
like a max
in extra space or whatever, I think to some degree that can be overrated. Let's talk about the terms next, though. The one-in-one aspect of this is both what we predicted, but also leads to some interesting things about where the Lakers go from here, both this year and how this might play out down the road. So we'll do all that next.
All right. So you're hanging out with some friends and you're putting back a few drinks, and a few becomes a few too many. And the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, and you think of calling for a ride, but okay, you live nearby. You think you can make it home. Okay. It's not a big deal. And what are the odds you're going to get pulled over anyway? And even if you did, like, what is the worst that's going to happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license, you lose your job, you total your car, you injure somebody, you kill someone. you can see where this is headed. And everybody knows the risks of drunk driving. Like, the results can be tragic. They can be deadly. And that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel under the influence. And that's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads. And they're doing this to save lives. So if you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, just think again. Like, play it safe. Plan ahead. Get a ride. Enjoy yourself more because you know you planned ahead. It only takes one mistake to change your life or somebody else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Okay, so the contract terms, LeBron is guaranteeing the Lakers one more year. He has a player option for that second year, and obviously this takes him right up to that 24-25 space where Bronny, his son, becomes eligible to become an NBA player. Now, we don't know for sure if Bronny will be ready to go as soon as he is eligible. We also don't know for sure, although LeBron has reiterated, Andy, that he will do whatever it takes to play with Bronny and play anywhere. Maybe he doesn't really want to play in Orlando for a year. Maybe he'll give it like an extra year and like be like, well, maybe, like, you know, what if I wait? Can we move Bronny from, you know, Washington to somewhere else?
I think if Bronny ends up on the Magic or, you know, the Kings, somewhere like that, that's where the Pacers, LeBron really decides it's important for Bronny to be his own person.
Right.
And, you know,
get established first, and we'll play that second year together.
Now that LeBron's thought about this, he's going to end up sucking up so much of that oxygen of Bronny's rookie season. And LeBron remembers how special his was.
Uh-huh.
And
he doesn't want to be in the way.
Right. I mean, like, think how bad he would have felt if, like, Zydrunas Ilgauskas was that determined to steal that spotlight from him. Like, it just would have been a shame.
Yeah.
So
this is his time to shine. Right. I will say, I think the most likely scenario in that is, like, it's sort of like when Jordan played with the Birmingham Barons and, like, essentially, like, bought a bus, LeBron just buys the franchise and moves it to a more appealing place. If Bronny ends up somewhere he doesn't like, there'll just be a third team in Los Angeles.
He just uproots the facility, like, by helicopter and flies it over.
Just all of it. Like, just, that's it. I'm not playing there. I'm playing with Bronny. He can play on that team, but I'm buying the team and I'm moving it. But in all seriousness, this is what I think. If you had made a probability chart of what this contract would look like, this was, to me, the overwhelming favorite for the structure is a year plus a player option. So I wasn't surprised to see that. I don't think you are either. It's what we talked about last week. But what do you think this does for the Lakers in terms of certainty? It doesn't lock LeBron in for 3 years, no matter what. It gives him that two with the expectation that he might move for that third one, circumstances dependent. Do you think this gives them enough clarity to really move forward with confidence in what they want to do?
Well, it's interesting. Trevor Lane over at Lakers Nation, friend of the show, did two shows with us earlier this week. He noted on Twitter after this news broke that the Lakers could feel more comfortable now, you know, taking on a Joe Harris or taking on somebody in a trade that had an extra year,
right?
Because your cap situation, that cap flexibility becomes less of a thing.
Right. They could have, I saw the number today, around 20 million or
right,
something like that. But that's not going to get you a superstar.
Well, and also too, that's 10. I imagine that's tenuous in the sense that that's with Talen Horton Tucker not opting in, you know,
which, and they renounce everyone.
Right.
Like, it's,
and that becomes really impractical.
As much as I love renouncing, you know, it's my favorite thing.
NBA. Oh, we're big fans of renouncing. You know, my reaction to that, I retweeted this with Trevor, was I would like to think that the Lakers would have been willing to do this anyway, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Either way, this should give them more, I guess, just more of a rationale to do it, because that the idea of having all that stuff cleared isn't as much of a thing now. I also think that to whatever degree they were concerned about having to make moves just to keep LeBron there, like the idea of, okay, how much do we have to dazzle the guy in order to eventually get that sort of commitment? The answer is not much. Well, I mean, yeah. And I don't mean like LeBron's underwhelmed. I'm just saying like that politicking has been removed, and that allows Rob Pelinka to make the best possible decisions for basketball reasons, as opposed to making LeBron happy reasons, because as we've seen, that's not always the same thing and not always the same positive thing.
Yeah. And it's funny, like there, I guess some people were, you know, I heard referred to the delay in getting this done. It's been 2 weeks, not even 2 weeks, I don't think.
There's been no hurry.
No, and none at all. And more importantly, I know this is a point that you've made. There's been no indication that LeBron was upset with the franchise, that he wasn't pleased with, you know, or pleased enough with how things were going, that he was going to hold their feet to the fire. And because there would have been smoke around that. If that was the reason that this delay happened, and it wasn't, I guess that could have been a thing. But I mean, there really aren't a lot of places for him to go where he can exercise that kind of leverage. And until that was the noise, there wasn't any reason for the Lakers to worry. But the problem becomes that maybe something like that develops. Somebody says the wrong thing. Somebody does the wrong thing. He hates Darvin Ham, whatever it might be. And if you, as the Lakers, if your goal is to keep LeBron James in town, then even if everyone expects the inevitable to happen, having the inevitable happen faster rather than slower is better. They can, if there was any concern about trading for Kyrie, if there was any concern about throwing a second pick in for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield and whatever else you could get in a deal like that, this should alleviate some of that concern.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron still wants to win. He still wants to win another championship. At the very least, he does not want to have his time wasted over the last few seasons of his career while still playing at a high level. And I think he's made that clear to the Lakers. But if we're being honest, he's settled, man. In the most literal sense, his family's settled. Like, I'm very confident that his family does not want to move again. His kids are starting to enter or already are in like the formative stages of their youth. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that if LeBron moved teams,
they're in school, they've got their schedules, they've got all this stuff.
His family's not likely joining them. And this would be the longest he'd ever be separated from his family during an NBA season, unless he's really, truly unhappy with the direction of the organization. And, you know, everything hasn't been perfect. Every decision hasn't been a great one. But you know what the truth is? He's largely gotten what he's wanted. Like, other than Alex Caruso, there is no real glaring example of them either not being able to spend or willing to spend what it takes, or, you know, not being willing to trade picks or trade players.
Right.
There are examples
of them not doing it right.
Right. But
that's different.
That's different. That's you can commit to things incorrectly while still being committed.
Right.
And I think it would be very difficult for LeBron to say that the organization has not been committed to him. I mean, my God, they tried their damnedest to overpay the crap out of Dennis Schroeder. He turned down the money. Like, there's nothing LeBron
These are things that, you know, might have alarmed LeBron 8 years ago in terms of committing to the organization. But I have long thought that the happiness that he has in LA, the established, you know, presence he has here, his businesses, his family and all that, was always, because that was the driving force to what brought him to the Lakers in the first place. Ultimately, unless he had a problem with that, that was what's going to keep him here more than anything, because where 10 years ago, LeBron might have needed stuff to work the legacy, to do all that, he doesn't need that now. He is a completely made guy. He's going to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the leading scorer of all time. People have either decided that he's a layer better than Jordan, or they're not going to. Nobody's going to change their mind on that one. And anybody who doesn't think that Jordan is the best player of all time thinks LeBron is the best player. He's got nothing to prove or accomplish in that regard. And so I'd have been shocked if he held this over the team's head and didn't agree to this, because I don't think the competence and the direction of the front office is even what's driving the ship here.
Well, I mean, it would have been counterproductive, both in the sense of it puts the Lakers in a position of disadvantage to try to get what he wants, but also Correct. It becomes a pain in the ass for LeBron having to answer these questions for an entire season. He's going to get sick of that. Like I've seen, and you have as well, a lot of reaction from people that, oh, LeBron signing this extension must mean that a Russ trade is...
That's where I want to go. Yeah.
Pretty close to happening.
Let's do that next, because that's okay. Exactly where I wanted to go, because you've seen a lot of chatter about that, that LeBron would only do this if he knew something was coming. So let's get to that next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. The fastest, easiest way, BetOnline.net, is to check in on all your betting needs for odds, lines, games, find reviews and news of every league, including baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, golf, the whole works. Like, we know, for example, the Lakers, they're going to be opening the season on October 18th in the Bay Area against the defending champion Golden State Warriors. The Lakers, as of this taping, getting 6.5 points. Do you think they can keep it that close? LeBron seems to think they can keep it that close because he just signed an extension. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. So head on over to BetOnline today, or use your mobile device. Learn more about what's happening today. All the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
So Andy, does this, do the events of Wednesday, LeBron agreeing to that extension, does this mean Russell Westbrook is sure to follow, hopefully sometime in the next 15 minutes in the minds of most Lakers fans?
I don't think so. I think it solidifies what all Laker fans are hoping for, which is that Rob Pelinka is working very diligently and studiously to make this happen, which, quite frankly, we both could have told you and have told you has been the case. It's been obvious. Last we saw LeBron and Russ in the same room, they were not speaking. So we know that this is a goal. At the same time, though, I think LeBron recognizes, A, this is not an easy ask. B, it's not an easy ask because, like, Kyrie Irving is a secondary element in the Brooklyn situation, which is bigger than him. You know, it's about Kevin Durant.
It's not even a matter of, do we want to try to repair the relationship with Durant or not or whatever. It's, we don't know what kind of return is the best return for us around Kyrie until we trade Durant, because the Boston trade, where they get back Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, you know, useful players and draft picks, leaves them as a, at the very least, a kind of a fringy contender. In that case, you might keep Kyrie, or at the very least want to trade him for something different than a guy you're going to buy out. So it's not, there's a lot of stuff that has to be answered.
Well, there's also too, LeBron is, I think, smart enough to, and cognizant enough, if not necessarily taking full, you know, public accountability for it. He also recognizes that, I have to imagine, the Lakers are in this position in part because they did what he wanted. Not fully, because they have a vote on this. And if they really did not want to do this, they could have, and frankly, should have.
I think it's fair to say it was a group effort.
Yes. You and I have never, Brian, bought that narrative that, you know, Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss were dead set against this, but they were just cowering in fear to LeBron. And
what are you
going to
do? It's what
Davis.
They want.
Right. What are we going to do? I mean, we've got both of these guys under contract. I mean, exactly. And I think LeBron is savvy enough to recognize how bad it looks if he ultimately bolts a team because the organization not only made a move that he wanted them to do that went sideways, but weren't able to successfully clean up that mess. And if you want an example of how that may play, look at Durant with the Nets right now.
Right. And it'd be different if there were four trades on the table that they could there isn't even a Utah trade that I don't think they can execute. So that's not going to happen until the Jazz trade Donovan Mitchell. And
there's CBA rules about when some of those dudes can be
traded.
There's anyway.
The only trade that they could probably do right now is the Hield, Turner, and whatever deal. But there's also no rush to do that until somebody comes along and tries to take those guys away from Indiana. And there's just no incentive to do it quickly. So, yeah, I don't think this changes the landscape around Westbrook at all. We'll save maybe, I guess, a few things around the schedule for Friday's show. There's also the news, which we didn't even mention. Lakers are going to retire Pau Gasol's jersey on March 7th. That's a big part of the schedule. At home, obviously, against, you wouldn't do this on the road. That would be dumb. Against Memphis, a team of significance for obvious reasons there. And so we'll talk about Pau on Friday's show for sure, because this is a really cool thing that the Lakers are doing. But other things about the schedule, it dropped today. It's always a big dropped on Wednesday. It's always a big day in the NBA schedule drop day. I always find it a little silly to some degree, just because it's like people go crazy. I love the leaking of games before. But your overall first reaction to seeing 82 games for the Lakers written down on a big piece of paper?
It opens tough, man. The Lakers have a tough opening slate. Begins with Golden State on their ring night in the Bay Area. Then they host the Clippers, host the Blazers, at Denver, at Minnesota, home to Denver, home to the Pelicans, Utah. We don't know exactly what that team's going to look
that
like.
That could be a softy game or
could
not.
Be.
We're not sure.
It could be. Then hosting Cleveland, at Utah, and that's a tough place to play even when the team is crappy.
Right, the second night of a back-to-back too.
Right. And then hosting the Clippers. Then from there, you get Sacramento, who could be decent. I don't think they're going to be great, but I think they could be decent. Brooklyn could be, you have no idea what that team
what,
is going to look
nothing
like.
If nothing else, that's an intriguing game.
Right. You're hosting that one. Hosting the Pistons, who if nothing else, could be a team that tires you out.
Uh-huh.
And then the Spurs, which I don't think is going to be.
Right. It does loosen up a little bit. They get three games against San Antonio. They play three of four. This is one of these weird, quirky schedule things, including a back-to-back in San Antonio. But they do have a stretch where they play, you know, Detroit, San Antonio, Phoenix, San Antonio twice, Indiana.
That feels early to get all your San Antonio games. Like,
I would want those a little later after they've really committed to getting the top pick in the draft.
Right. And also when you're a little more tired in the year, you could use a bit of a rest like that. Yeah. That's when a back-to-back in San Antonio, you're too tired to go out. You don't even want that out in Miami game. Yeah. Like that.
But we've talked about how hard it is to, you know, how important it is for this team to get off to a good start. A West heavy schedule featuring again, Golden State, the Clippers, Denver twice, the Pelicans, Cleveland, the Clippers twice, Portland, who I think will be significantly better this year than last. That is not a recipe for a quick start.
No, but I do like that this is the opening part of the schedule. I like the idea of, A, it being challenging, so there's I would like to think that there's no chance of last year's casual attitude to starting the season, given how things went.
Laissez-faire.
But if you're looking for any type of safeguard, this is it. This opening slate should keep their attention, but also too, I think you just get more information about where you're at with and sort of how things are shaping early on with this type of schedule, as long as it doesn't lead them into a hole that becomes really difficult to dig themselves out and they have to expend so much energy just trying to get themselves back to a respectable record. I like the idea of early tests like this. I was pleased when I saw this.
There's sort of no way around it too, because they do benefit from being home heavy, which is typically how the Lakers do it, just based on the availability of the building and all that kind of stuff. They typically do open a lot of games with a lot of games at home. Last year, it was just an easier slate than this year. It's very West heavy. I think it's 16 of their first 20 games are against the West, and they finish with a pretty West heavy schedule too. And what that just does for me is drive home, the West is really good. Like, there are very few teams that I can point to in the West where you go, that is just, you know, that's a quote-unquote automatic win, where you just, you know, Oklahoma City could be a fringy play-in team this year if they decide that they want to be guys stay healthy and all that. Sacramento is a good, for a likely non-playoff team, has a competent roster. You know, Houston could be a little bit better this year. There aren't a lot of really terrible teams. We'll see what happens with Utah, but Portland should. It drove home to me the challenge the Lakers have in front of them just by being in their conference. And so there are some good things. They don't have a lot of brutal back-to-backs. They play fewer back-to-backs than the league average. And I think four of their back-to-backs do not involve travel at all. So that's a good thing. You know, they travel fewer miles than they have.
Where was this schedule last year when they were older than dirt?
Like, I think this is the schedule for last season.
Did they mix up the AARP
version of the NBA schedule? There's no question.
Seriously, like they don't need this schedule this year. They needed it last year.
I thought it was interesting on the thing that like the NBA has a rule now where like if you need assistance getting on the plane early, like that's part of the Lakers schedule, but like that's again geared toward last year's team with the old people.
everything on their flight to eat is just Jello.
It's pudding.
Last year it was all just Jello.
Everywhere the Lakers go is pudding night.
my God, why didn't they have this last year?
Oh, but anyway, so yeah, we'll talk about a couple other details that jump out about the schedule. We'll certainly get into Pau on Friday's show because that is a really cool deal. We got a couple other things that stick out about the documentary, the Legacy documentary on Hulu that we didn't get to in Tuesday's show, correct? Mm-hmm. ESPN's got a bunch of interesting predictions out about the team that we'll talk about. And most importantly, if you are somebody who has submitted a question to use on our mailbag show that we're taping on the 27th of August at 11 a.m. at the Doer Store at 170 South La Brea in Los Angeles, we're going to pull a name out. So get your questions in. You could win a Doer prize pack as part of Friday's show. We'll see everybody Friday.